Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to start reading here at verse 11. I'm just going to get down to verse 14. We may go a little further. I don't know. We'll see how the Lord leads. But Galatians chapter 2, look here at verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with them, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, liveth after the matter of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that you would use this message today to encourage us, help us in our walk, draw us closer, whatever that need may be. Lord, you know the heart and need of every person. And I pray that you would just bless as only you can. Help me with preaching this message. Help me to rightly divide it. Help me with any illustrations I need to be able to bring it forth that helps people to understand it clearer and better. And I pray, Lord, that we would be challenged by this message. We'd see the truth of this, your word that's here. And, Lord, see the influence peer pressure can have. And we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So this morning I'll be preaching on standing for the truth. Standing for the truth. Now, the book of Galatians, again, was written to the churches, local churches of Galatia. So God told Paul what to write to these local churches, and they gave this letter, this epistle, to them. And in this epistle, he's explaining about salvation, how this God gave the gospel. Gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You accept him as your personal savior. You ask him to forgive you. Accept him as your savior. He's willing to forgive you. That's salvation. So Paul is going through this epistle, this letter, to explain it to people and saying if anyone comes and tries to change it, they're wrong. And then he explained to them that it comes directly from God. He explained to them that we have the very words of God. Last week he explained to them that no one has the right to change it. Not man, not the church. No one has that right. And now, continuing that thought, Paul is given an instance when Peter came to Antioch. So Paul was at Antioch, and while he was there, Peter came down. And he's explaining what happened in this instance. So again, taking in contents, what he's trying to do is explain to those local churches that even though Peter came down and did something, that Peter was wrong, and he's correcting him on that. So he speaks of this. But if you think about Peter, right? What do we know about Peter? Well, Peter was a believer, right? He was a Christian. Peter, if you want to say this, he was kind of like one of the founding fathers, right? Peter was, he was a great guy. Amen. He loved the Lord. Peter became a martyr. Peter died for the faith. Peter was one of the 12 disciples. So when our Lord walked on the earth, Peter was there with him, and he saw the miracles. Peter, a lot of times when you think about Peter, we think about the boldness. Peter was very bold. You probably know some people that are very bold. Debbie's dad, he was very bold. I know that you know him. He was very bold. And sometimes I would laugh, and sometimes you'd probably feel like, oh, you're getting ashamed. But I thought one time, and I could be wrong, but I thought there was a guy that had his pants down a little bit, and I always called him Brother Fred or Dad, and he yelled, pull up your pants, amen. That was just him, right? So, but anyway, he bold, amen. He would say anything, amen. Debbie, I think you told me where you lived, I think it was on Green Street, that sometimes the priest would walk down and he would preach to them that was there, amen. So they start to walk on the other side of the street. But Peter was very bold person, right? There's nothing wrong about being bold that's there. But you think about it, he was one of the first, he was an apostle. He was an apostle. So I mean, God used him to write one of the epistles that we have, right? First and Second Peter, you could see that. I mean, Peter was greatly used. However, we read here in the scripture, there's an instant where Peter was wrong. Folks, can I tell you, it doesn't matter who you are, right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And what we read in this instant is, Paul is correcting what Peter did here. And he's explaining to the local churches. He didn't do that to be mean to Peter, but he's explaining to the churches that what Peter did was wrong to help them to understand that Peter himself has no right and no authority to change what God gave as the gospel. And later on, I will show you an instant when Paul was negatively influenced by others and did something that was wrong, right? It's all recorded in Scripture, amen? It's kind of like God had Paul write something about Peter, and later on, God had Paul write something about himself, amen? So it's quite interesting. So what is this instant that we see here? Well, that's where we read in verse 11. It says, but when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed, right? Peter did something that was wrong. What was it that he did? Well, if you remember back in these days, and even back even before Jesus walked on the earth, the Jewish people would look down on the Gentiles. Can I tell you, it's probably still happening today. There's Jewish people that look down on the Gentiles, and they thought that they were better than the Gentiles. Don't ever do that. Don't ever look down on someone. Don't ever think, I'm better than you, right? Don't be doing that. But anyway, the Jewish people would look down on the Gentiles. And we'll go through the scripture. Matter of fact, when Jesus walked on the earth, you still saw it, right? They did not like the Samaritans. They didn't like the Samaritans. Matter of fact, in John chapter 4, when Jesus stopped at the well and sat down, there was a Samaritan lady that came, and Jesus said, give me something to drink. And the lady was kind of like shocked, right? It was kind of like, sometimes people say if you're a fly on the wall, it's because you want to see what the reaction was. Must have been surprised her reaction when this Jewish man, right? He was 100% God, 100% man, sitting at the wall as a Samaritan came and he says, hey, give me the drink. And she's like, I'm going to put it in my terms, I guess you could say, or however you want to say it, you know, would be like this. You're a Jew. Why are you asking me, right? What is it, right? So it's kind of trying to explain it, I guess, better. But anyway, what do we see here? Here it is that Peter, when he came to Antioch, there were other Gentiles that were there, and there were Jewish people. And those Jewish people, still, even though they were believers, they were influenced from these old customs or old things that they had, would separate from the Gentiles. So as these believers were here and Peter came, he saw the Jewish people were all sitting on this side and the Gentiles were sitting over there, that Peter, instead of saying, what are you guys doing? Right? We're all children of God. Peter goes over and sits with the Jewish people. And when other Jewish people that are at this church see that, they get up and they're like, hey, we can't sit with the Gentile people, even though they're all believers. They get up and they go over and sit down. That even Barnabas, who was a missionary with Paul, said, whoa, maybe what I'm doing is wrong. He gets up from where he's at and he goes over and sits with the Jewish people to be separate. That's what he's saying here. And it says, and we see that verse 12. And before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. So before, you know, Peter would sit down with the Gentiles. But what happened? These Jewish believers influenced him and got into the place of saying, hey, you know, peer pressure, right? And it says, but did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. He refers to the Jewish people. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with them, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation, right? So what I was explaining to you, Peter went there, and when he saw that, he sits down here with all the Jewish people. So let's say for today, you guys are Jewish people, and you guys are Gentiles. You're on the wrong side there, Bob. You got to get over there. You're a Jew, right? So I'm just teasing. But anyway, you know, that's what we see here, right? Separation, right? Diane, you can't talk to Bob. Bob, you can't, you know, because they're different, right? That's what we see, what they did and what happened. Paul addressed this. Now look back here to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Does that make sense of what I'm explaining to you? Of what happened here in this instant? And Paul is going to then... He tells Peter what he's doing is wrong. And we're going to get into that, right? We're going to get into the meat of the message. Look here in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. In Acts chapter 10. Look down here at verse 9. Now the book of Acts, always remember the book of Acts is kind of a transition period, right? And what I mean by that is they went from under the law... And now it's the church age, right? So when you get to the book of Acts, there may be some things that are happening here because it's a transition from under law, under the church age, that may not be still happening today, right? So always just remember that as you're going through. But Acts chapter 10, look here at verse 9. And on the morrow, as they went to their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. So we know Peter was a Jewish man. And there were Gentile people that were coming to Peter. They were coming on the way. There was a vision to Cornelius. God gave that vision to Cornelius and said, hey, send them off to find Peter. And Peter will tell you what you need to do because they were lost. So here was God gave that vision that was there. And now what we have is here's Peter. He's on top of the housetop. He's praying about 6 hours. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Right. So again, there's some things that happened in the Old Testament may not or in Acts that didn't happen. Right. That you won't see happening today. And he saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending upon him had been a great sheet knit in the four corners and let down to the earth. So Peter is seeing this vision, right? So again, in this time, there may have been visions, Old Testament visions. There's not these today, right? We have the completed Word of God. So anyway, Peter is just describing what happened, right? And he was like in this trance that was there. It was just, you know, God allowed him to see this vision. As he looked up in heaven, it was like the heaven open up. And then he saw this knit. It was, you know, I just call it like a blanket, a sheet or whatever. And then what he sees is he sees this knit sheet, this blanket start coming down, right? And he's just like... confused, right? He doesn't understand it. It says, descending unto him, and it was been a great sheet knit at the four quarters and let down to the earth, wherein were all matter of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, arise, Peter, kill and eat. Now, in the Old Testament, God gave to the Jewish people, there were some Levitical laws. And those Levitical laws, God said there were certain things they could not eat, right? Example, like shrimp. God told the Jewish people they couldn't eat shrimp. There was other foods they could not eat pig, right? They could not eat pork. So God put those things in the Old Testament. That doesn't mean that you can't eat them today. We see that clearly in Scripture. Matter of fact, even here, God is saying that it's okay. But again, those things were a purpose. God wanted the Jewish people to think about everything they did. And wanted them to think about it, and also separation, right? God wanted them to think. We were talking about that during Sunday school. Prove all things. The only way to prove all things is you have to think about it, right? So anyway, when Peter would see these things, some of the things that came down, in the Old Testament would have been considered unclean to them. So that means they could not eat it. It's interesting when you look in the Bible, the Gentiles could eat it, but it was the Jewish people that couldn't. Gentiles could eat it, Jewish people couldn't. But anyway, look what happens in verse 14. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." What is he saying? The things that we have seen, I haven't eaten those things, right? And a voice said unto him the second time, "What God has cleansed, that call thou not common." This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up into heaven. So it was three times, right? It was saying. So when he saw this, you know, this sheet that was knit on four corners that came down, and he saw the different food that's there, and some that he would say this would be, that they would probably say kosher, is okay to eat, right? And other stuff is no, I can't eat that. And when Peter saw it, he's like, "Lord, I can't eat that, right? That's common, that's unclean." Do you know that is similar to how the Jewish people viewed the Gentiles? That they were common or unclean? So anyway, when we continue on, now when Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen mean, behold, the men which are sent from Cornelius, who was a Gentile, right? Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, right, he was thinking about this, he was pondering, he was thinking, what does this mean? Why is God now telling me that, you know, what I see is common or unclean, it's okay to eat? And he's scratching his head and he's like, I don't know, right? And here's these men, these Gentiles that are coming to his house. And as they're coming to the house, the Spirit, capital, so that means the Holy Spirit, is telling Peter, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Rise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." So as Peter is thinking about these things that are here, the Holy Spirit tells him and says, "Peter, three men are coming to see you. And when they come, don't doubt, don't question it. I've sent them, and go with them." Right? So we can see that as we continue to read here. "Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause, therefore, are ye coming? And they said, Cornelius and centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house to hear his words. Then called he them in and lodged them. And the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him," right? So here it is. Peter brought them in to his house, and they were there. They spent the night. And when Peter's leaving with these three Jewish people to go to Cornelius, these three Gentiles to go to Cornelius, who is a Gentile, Peter brings other Jewish people with him. And that's important, because we'll talk about that either today or another time. But he brings these Jewish people with him. The Bible says, "And tomorrow after he had entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and called together his kinsmen and near friends," right? So he's bringing together these other Gentiles into his house. "And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man," right? He's like, don't worship me. You know, there's sometimes people worship other people. How dumb that is. But you know, it still happens in our society. Not just worship them like a god per se, and they do. You know, there are some people walk on this earth and they tell people they're Jesus Christ and they want people to worship. They're just get away from them. They're loony. But people worship athletes like they're a god. You know, rock stars and other stuff that's there. Don't do that. "And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together." And look what Peter says here. And he said unto them, you know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Do you see that? Peter said he went with these Gentiles that were there, and he sees a group of Gentiles that are there, and he says, God has showed me, again, I shouldn't call any man common or unclean. What was he saying? He was referring to the Gentiles, right? That was there. Now, it's interesting when he says it's unlawful. Do you know you will not find in the Bible where it says the Jewish people should not be with the Gentiles? Now, there's a reference that people can use that's in Deuteronomy chapter 7, where it talks about that they should stay away, like a separation. But he was talking about in that Canaan land, right? The land they were going in, they were supposed to wipe them out that was there. What happened over time was the rabbis took what Moses gave to the people and added on to it and told the Jewish people, right? He was kind of saying, hey, we're going to take this a little step further to make sure you're not influenced by these common or unclean Gentiles, that you came and be together with them. Because if not, you have to ask yourself, if it was unlawful. Jesus did talk to Gentiles. Jesus did talk to a Samaritan, right? She wasn't 100% Jewish person, right? There were others that were there. It wasn't unlawful according to the Scripture. But it was unlawful to man as a rabbi. Does that make sense that's there? So that is important to understand. What happens is sometimes people will take Scripture, and what do? They add to it, and they say, this is wrong. You do this, this is wrong. But it's not found in the Bible, right? So the reality is, by them even saying it's unlawful, it's only unlawful to them. God didn't say it. Remember when Jesus walked on the earth? Do you remember how they found fault with Jesus? Remember his disciples were picking ears of corn? And he says, don't you know it's unlawful to do those things on the Sabbath day? I mean, who knows the Bible better than God? Amen? He wrote it. He knew it. But what was it? They took Scripture, they added to it, and what was it? They made it a law. That's why Jesus later confronted those Pharisees and said and told them, right, that you reject the commandment of God, but keep the commandment of man. What was he saying? Their laws that was different than the Scripture. They were adding to it. Does that help you? Make sense? That's important for this. So anyway, the Jewish people that were coming up would have had that influence of something that the rabbis, the priests, would have taught them that was not what the Scripture said. But they still had that embedded in their brains. They were thinking this is right. Because when you go through here, what is it? Peter is pretty much saying, hey, that's not the case, right? So when you go back to the book of Galatians now, Galatians chapter 2. And you pick up on this, now it'll help you the picture of what's happening, right? We'll be down to verse 14. Peter, when he got there, he went off with the Jewish people. The Jewish people were thinking, well, you know, Peter is a leader of the church, and if Peter's doing it, I must do it. Barnabas is thinking, whoa, maybe I should do it too, right? As you turn to Galatians chapter 2. And what did Paul do in that instant? Well, we see that in verse 14. Galatians 2, verse 14. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew liveth after the matter of the Gentiles. What was he saying? Peter, you're saved, right? You're born again. You know that we have freedom in Christ. You know that we're not under the law. But why is it, Peter, that you're living like the Gentiles when you're not here? But Peter, now that you're in the presence of the Jewish people, you look down on those Gentiles as they're common or unclean. And now you're going back. He's like, let me keep on reading here. He says, if thou being a Jew liveth after the mouth of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews. He was saying, you know, when you're not here, you're living in freedom, right? You know that. He says, why compelleth thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? He's saying, hey, as he was there and he confronted him to the face, he was saying, hey, why are you now telling the Gentiles that they should now live as the Jewish people? The reason he's addressing this is because those Jewish people later on, remember in Acts chapter 15, we referenced that as an example. There were Jewish believers or others that weren't believers. They were saying the Gentiles had to be circumcised. They had to start acting like the Jewish people of the Old Testament. And what Paul's doing is he's addressing that and saying, hey, you're wrong. So there's a lot that you can glean from this. But you see one of the first things that you see here? Peter was fearful. Right? Others, verse 12 in the middle, and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, the Jewish people. Fearing them. Can I tell you, fear can really be a influence you to do things that you would never have done. If you go to that school system that's over there, there is kids that may be buddies, right? They're buddies together, right? They're friends and stuff, they're neighbors and stuff, and they're friends. But then they go to school. When they go into school, there's other kids in there that doesn't like the buddy that you have. And if you hang around with him, Tony, I better not say that because, you know, but you know what I mean? If you hang around with him, we're going to make fun of you too. And fearing that, oh no, I get a bit made fun of, right? Fear has a way of making peer pressure where this kid who plays together with him at home no longer is now making fun of him, right? Even though he knows that's not right. Fear. That's just an application, right? But you know that still happens today for us as Christians. This is not referring to those who were lost, that did not know the Scripture. This isn't talking about new Christians per se. There could have been new Christians that was there. This was talking about Peter, someone who was grounded in the faith, someone who walked with the Lord, someone that was one of the apostles. One that God has used the Scripture. What I'm trying to tell you today is, even as a believer, and it doesn't matter if you're a new Christian, a babe in Christ, or you've been saved for 50, 60, 70, how many years you've been saved, you can be negatively influenced by fear. And you can make bad decisions of things that you know is not right because of fear of man. Can I tell you, we should not fear men from that state. We should fear God. God should be first. But I want you to understand, as humans, and we are human, right? That peer pressure, that fear, could cause us not to do what is right. What else do we see here? Well, we see here in verse 13, and the other Jews disassembled likewise with them, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Not only fear, but the influence of others. Do you imagine if you and I were back in those days, and we were sitting there, right? And as we're back there in those days, you see someone that comes that's Peter. You may have already heard about Peter. If you're in those days, you probably heard about him preaching at Pentecost, reaching thousands. You may have personally talked to Peter if we were back in those days and said, hey, what was it like to talk to Jesus? What was it like to see the miracles? Because, you know, you go through the book of Acts. God greatly used him. Here could be someone, again, our eyes should be on Jesus. But it could be someone, you know, we see as strong in the faith. Someone we may look up to and say, wow, I see what he's doing. And now you see Peter going over to the Jewish people to separate him from the Gentiles. And Barnabas, who knew better, and the other Jews, because of the influence of one, left. Don't misunderstand. I am a Baptist. I'm happy to be Baptist. But can I tell you, there are sometimes Baptists are just wrong. Amen. I'll be the first to tell you, I'm a Baptist preacher. I can tell you that. Amen. And it's true. Can I tell you, if someone believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? They truly repented. They accept. They believe that he died, was buried, and rose again. And they accept him as their personal Savior. They are brothers and sisters in Christ, right? There may be things I may not agree. Maybe they have some doctrine that I don't agree because it's wrong biblically. But he's still my brother. She's still my sister in Christ, right? And when we get to heaven, the reality is this. We're all there because we're children of God. We have accepted Christ. Does that make sense? But I have heard Baptists say, you know, they have this, I think it's called Baptist Bride. I don't know if, has anyone ever heard about that? They literally call this Baptist Bride. And I was like, what is this? Where they're saying that the Baptist will be up in heaven and during that time of, you know, the feast that's there, they're talking about it will be the Baptists that are sitting down eating and other Christians that are on the side. You ever heard of that? That is something. You're going to go home and Google it and be like, preacher lost his. And then you're going to Google it and you know what you're going to find? Preacher was right. Amen. Google it. Not now. Amen. But Google it later and you'll find that, right? And I remember people saying that. You know what I told them? I was like, you're crazy. Now I'm a Baptist, right? Let's say I went to somewhere where there were other Baptists that were there and they all have this crazy belief. Not all Baptists believe that, right? I don't believe that. A lot of Baptists I know do not believe it. But I'm saying there are people that believe it. In New York, I know there are those that believe it, right? Pennsylvania, I know there's some believe it. I can be influenced. I should not be naive to think I am so strong that I could not be influenced, right? So the reality is this. When I heard that, someone asked me one time, I told him, I said, I ain't right. I said, show me in the Bible. They showed me a verse in the Bible. I said, well, you're taking that out of context. That's not what it's saying. That's what I believe. And I said, well, you can believe it. You're still my brother in Christ, but you're wrong. Amen? What I'm saying is this. Even if I have people that I, like Brother Fielder, he's not a Baptist brother, Brother Jeffco and others that come in and say, hey, we're Baptist brothers. What I'm saying is this. There could be people you look to and say, well, maybe, like Barnabas, maybe I'm wrong and maybe I should be, right? So, that's not the case, right? I am not a Baptist brider. But anyway, I was just giving the illustration. So, influence of others. You don't think that's the case? Look at our society today. Marketing has made so much money trying to influence you. Why do you think they paid Michael Jordan at that time millions of dollars to drink milk? Because there was a lot of young people that wanted to be like Michael Jordan and thought, you know, if I drink some milk, I'm able to jump 3 and 4 feet up in the air, dunk a basketball and shoot a basketball like him. Right? When I was growing up, Michael Jordan was the player that a lot of people looked up to. And we'd be there, you know, trying to go up for a shot. You know what we would do? Stick out our tongues. Now, I'm not doing that because I was a 2-year-old, you know, and having problems. You know, like Grandma looked at me like, what? You're going to get spanking. I was like, no, Grandma. But why? Because Michael Jordan, when he played basketball, did that. What I'm saying is, it's not normal, right? To have your tongue out. But he did it, and he, you know. And that's what the influence. When I was in school, Michael Jordan wore Nikes. You know what happened? Those kids would come into school and have Nikes on, right? They had pumps on. What was it? They paid these athletes millions of dollars. I guarantee you go over to that school system and you go in there, and what you'll find is you'll find a lot of people wearing things because of some celebrity, others. The influence, right? Your influence, right? Folks, can I tell you that even though we are Christian, hopefully you're born again, if not, came to the right place, but fear and the influence of others can cause you to do things that you know is not right. And what should we do like Peter did or like Paul did? He stood up and he confronted the matter. Now, Paul made this a public matter that was done, right? Manner, I guess it would be. A public thing that he did. Why did he do that? Because the influence of Peter, he was a leader, right? He was an apostle. The influence that he had, that if he didn't address it publicly, Barnabas and all these Jews, that church would have been trouble. That church would have had problems, probably split, right? Would have caused problems. Because Gentiles have been like, I ain't going to that church anymore, right? And the Jews were like, I ain't going to that church anymore, the Gentiles, you know? He handled it publicly because it was a public manner, right? That doesn't mean that you need to handle everything publicly. Don't take it out of context, right? Sometimes people do that on Facebook. They write everything on Facebook, right? You know what this person did? Yeah. Why are you doing that? You know? It gets under my nerves. I don't have Facebook. But it gets under my nerves when I hear about that. What are you doing? That is a private matter, right? Handle it privately. This was a public matter. And what did he do? He blamed him right face to face. He looked at Peter and said, Peter, what you're doing is wrong. Shouldn't do that. What was he doing? He was standing up for the truth. Because he knew what it could do to affect people. Can I tell you, you know what we need in this world today? When you think about it, it's Father's Day. It's not a coincidence, right? We need fathers that are willing to stand up for the truth. We need fathers that are willing to lead their sons and daughters or family in the right direction. We need fathers that are willing to say, you know what? I'm sorry, but we're not going to do that because that's not right. We need fathers that are strong. You think about America's society. Do you know what's happening in America's society? We have left God. But you know what has also happened in our society? We don't have dads being fathers like they should be anymore. And it has destroyed our homes. It's destroying our country. Because we don't have dads being dads anymore. Can I tell you that is sad? And the devil knows it, and that's why he's in trying to destroy stuff. You go into that school system, right? I'm just using that as an example. You go in that school system, you know? And chances are you'll run into those kids, and dad's nowhere to be found. That is just sad. We need dads that'll be dads, you know? This may surprise you. I can't remember the whole speech. I'm sure most of the speech I may not have agreed with. But you know, President Obama, you may not like him, and there's policies I did not like, but he's still he was a former president. We should honor and respect if someone's a president. I don't like everything that President Trump does, but he's still our president, so you honor and respect our president. But anyway, do you know he gave a speech one time, and he went to a place. I think it was in Chicago. And he says, where are all the dads? He did. Can't remember everything else in the speech. I probably didn't agree with, wouldn't like, but he's like, "What's the dads, right?" Can I tell you, that's the same today. We need dads that are willing to stand up for the truth. And just because all other dads are doing other stuff, no! We need dads that are willing to stand up and say, "Hey, I don't want to fear man. I don't want to be influenced by those that are going the wrong way. But I want to do what's right." There would have been a time where dads would have stood up and said, "We're going to church." We need those dads again. It's kind of like we live on the side today. It's kind of like, "We're going to church." "Is that right, honey? Are you sure we want to go to church?" It's crazy. I mean, we live in a world, we need dads that are willing to stand up and say, "Hey, we need to do what's right." Please don't misunderstand. I'm not talking about beating up your wife or running over her and stuff like that. To be an example, to love your wife. Right? God said that a man as a husband should love his wife as God loved us. And what did he do? He sacrificed. He gave up his life. So husbands should be willing to sacrifice for their wives. But the influence. When are we going to have dads again that will do what's right? This is really, it's a Father's Day part at the end. But I want you to think about in their life. How about us? Are we allowing others to influence us to do what's wrong? Do you know, there's people in our world today that are lost, that are dying and going to hell. And Julianne, they know it. But they're afraid because the influence of what others will say, the fear and the influence, that they won't come and get saved. And they're going to die and spend eternity in hell. Because of the influence and fear of others. Isn't that just sad? But can I tell you, that's happening in our society today. There are us as Christians. We know what we should do. But we don't do it. Why? Because the fear and influence of others. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to beat up Peter that's here, right? Because the truth is, we could probably all put ourselves there. You understand? We could all put ourselves. And if you say, "Oh, that won't be me," this was Peter, one of the apostles. Do you understand? Don't think that you're, "Oh, I'm too good for..." No, you're going to fall. Amen? The influence. We're all going to be there, right? The key, I didn't get into it, is to ask God to help you, to stand up for what's right. But we need more people, men and women, that are willing to stand up for what's right and say, "Hey, that's right." You know, in our school system, I'm almost done here. There is just so much bullying that happens. It's sad. But wouldn't it be nice if there were people that would stand up and say, "Hey, stop picking on so-and-so, right? What are you doing?" But you know what happens? That's hard to do. It is. But it's the right thing to do. And it's the same thing here. Do you think that was easy for Paul to get up, knowing that there's Peter, there's the other Jewish people, he's a Jew, there's his friend Barnabas that's there? But he did it because it was right. And because he did that, I want you to think about it. He's given us an example to stand up for what's right. I close in a prayer. How many of us today are willing to stand up for what's right? Father, I thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this message is a help and a blessing. I pray, Father, that it would remind us of the importance of doing what's right. Lord, it would remind us of peer pressure, how it can influence us to not do what we know is right. Lord, we need your help. All of us can fail in this. Help us to stand up for what's right. Help us to stand up for you. Help us to stand up for our families, our loved ones. Help us to stand up for a stranger. Maybe someone's doing something to stand. Help us to stand up for what's right. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name.